Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November the 23rd, so-called Black Friday, when retailers hope to lure as many of you as possible in for the traditional start of the holiday shopping season. Well, I won't be going shopping today, at least not in any big mega stores or malls. I don't want to fight the crowds. But we are going to talk about one of those big mega stores, the biggest corporation in the world, Walmart. And we will talk with a guest about Walmart's green initiative and what our guest calls Walmart's greenwashing report. She has gone through Walmart's first progress report since Walmart's CEO H. Lee Scott announced a plan 2 years ago to go green, to reduce global warming emissions from Walmart stores, to offer more sustainable products, organics, and products with less packaging and the like. She says Walmart has a long way to go and concludes for Walmart to be truly considered green, it would need to completely overhaul its business model. We will welcome your thoughts and questions about Walmart's green initiative, and we'll wonder if you give the Walmart Corporation some credit or not for this green initiative, or if you agree with our guest that Walmart is just greenwashing its image. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Sarah Anderson. She's director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. She edited the Big Box Collaborative Report, Walmart's Sustainability Initiative, a Civil Society Critique. And she wrote a recent piece that we found on commondreams.org last week, Walmart's New Greenwashing Report. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So why do you call this Walmart's new greenwashing report?
Well, this was a much-awaited report. It was 2 years ago now that the Walmart CEO, Lee Scott, announced this big, bold green initiative. And he has been getting so much great press about it for years now, but people have been waiting for the details to come out. And really, how much greener have they become in these past 2 years? And when I first saw the report, I thought that something seemed a little fishy, because you have to read through 40 pages of the report before you even get to the environmental indicators. And I realized when I looked at them carefully why they had been buried so far in the back of the report. One of the major goals of the company has been that they would reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by 20% by the year 2012, which is coming up, not too far away. And yet, in those indicators in the report, they show that actually they've increased their greenhouse gas emissions by 9% last year. So they seem to be pretty off track on some of their big goals. I don't want to discount everything they've been doing. They proudly announced, for example, that they have sold now 100 million energy-efficient light bulbs in their stores. They do seem to be investing in making their trucks more fuel-efficient and other things, but there isn't a lot of concrete progress to report to date.
Yeah. Do they have any reason why they have, instead of starting to decrease greenhouse gas emission, they've actually increased greenhouse gas emissions?
They were very vague on that. They said that basically they're blaming it on their own success. They were saying it's such a challenge when you're growing so quickly to reduce your carbon footprint. But they didn't give any details on whether within individual stores they have managed to reduce their emissions. So that seemed kind of fishy to me. And I do want to point out that the major reason I wrote my piece was I wanted to raise bigger questions about sustainability in Walmart, because I would argue that even if the company achieves all of the goals that they have set out for themselves, that they still wouldn't be considered a sustainable company. And I say that for three reasons. One is because I don't think they can be considered sustainable as long as they rely so heavily on sourcing their products from the other side of the globe. Mm-hmm. As much as 70% of their products now come from China. And, you know, imagine all the environmental costs associated with transporting all that stuff back mm-hmm. to our stores here. The second reason is I don't think they can be considered sustainable as long as they contribute so massively to sprawl by siting their stores outside of towns, requiring people to drive significant distances to get there. One estimate is that there is as much greenhouse gas emissions associated with just customer traffic to their stores as with all of the other greenhouse gas emissions of Walmart in the U.S. And finally, the third reason why I don't think Walmart can be considered sustainable is as long as it relies on a business model that is based on slashing costs to the bone. Walmart is notorious for using its global market power to really squeeze its suppliers around the globe, getting them to cut corners and cut corners, slash labor costs by making workers pay work unpaid overtime and that type of thing, cutting corners, which results in less safe consumer products and cutting corners on environmental standards. And so that's why I would argue that we really need a whole overhaul of this business model.
We're talking with Sarah Anderson, the director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies, talking about her recent piece, Walmart's New Greenwashing Report, in which she is not impressed so far with the progress being made at the Walmart Corporation with its so-called green initiative. And as we just heard, she argues Walmart can never really be considered sustainable because of various business practices. 1-800-642-1234. What do you think? In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November the 23rd. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with John Munson filling in for Ben Marins. It's your views on the news after 4 o'clock when you can call in with what you consider to be the top news story of the week. That's coming up after 4 this afternoon. We will be reviewing the news of the week coming up after 8 o'clock, our regular Friday Week in Review. Our two guests have put off their Black Friday shopping to join us for the weekend review, so we're happy to have them after 8 o'clock. This is considered one of the busiest shopping days of the year. It is called Black Friday because stores have high hopes of making money by luring us in with all sorts of bargains. But we are talking about shopping in a different way. We're talking about Walmart and its new green initiative. It was announced a couple of years ago to make Walmart a green corporation by relying more on renewable energy and by reducing greenhouse gases, by trying to create less waste and to sell sustainable products. Well, recently Walmart came out with its first progress report, and we are going over that progress report with our guest, who is not impressed. Sarah Anderson, director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. She edited the Big Box Collaborative Report, Walmart's Sustainability Initiative, a Civil Society Critique, and also wrote a recent piece called Walmart's New Greenwashing Report. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for her. And we wonder if you agree with her or not that a big corporation like Walmart can Walmart actually go green? Can it really be sustainable? Our guest argues no, not as long as it has the same business model that it has, not as long as it builds so many stores in the outskirts of town. No, not as long as it relies on products from the other side of the globe. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. Is everybody out shopping? Our lines are open. Normally when we say Walmart, the lines fill up. But Sarah Anderson, do you think Walmart is doing this just to improve its public image?
I think initially that was the strategy. Walmart has been facing really increased pressure from a wide range of activist groups over the years. The labor unions that have long been critical of them for their tactics to bust unions in this country, religious groups and anti-sweatshop groups have been concerned about conditions for workers in their overseas factories, small business groups and community groups that are opposed to them for undermining small independent businesses, women's groups who have been critical of them for discriminating against women in their stores, and then also environmental groups really got into it in the last few years. And so I think initially the idea was that by announcing this green initiative, they could peel off the environmental groups and sort of divide and conquer their critics. But as they got into it, I think a lot of Walmart officials actually really embraced this as a way to save money. And they've been most interested in the kinds of changes that would be good for their corporate bottom line, like reducing packaging, becoming more energy efficient, and so forth. All of this should make them even more of a profitable company. I do think, though, that the progress seems to be quite slow, as we see in this progress report. There really wasn't a whole lot for them to report after 2 years into it. And like I said, I think the bigger issue is just, can we ever consider this a sustainable company as long as it is based on contributing to sprawl, sourcing products from across the globe, and also cutting costs to the bone. And I think something on the minds of a lot of shoppers today is, are products safe nowadays? There's so much concern about the pet food, the toys, the toxic lead in toys and so forth. And is Walmart's business model really going to be the one to lead the way to protect consumers in this globalized economy? They haven't been doing much to really take any leadership role in making sure that products are safe.
Chris in Madison joins us. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm an environmentalist, at least by our society's like standards, what we call an environmentalist. And I'm no fan of Walmart, but I would have to say that Walmart's pursuit of these initiatives, I don't know if I would. Your guest Sarah says that she doesn't think that they could ever be sustainable. I don't know if their goal is to be 100% sustainable. I know myself and probably your guest take measures in our daily activities to live more sustainably, even though we probably aren't 100% sustainable in our daily lives. So I was just curious exactly what the expectation is out of Walmart, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to completely discount everything Walmart is doing. I think it's better than ignoring the climate crisis that we're in right now. I think it's positive that they are taking some steps forward on environmental issues. But what concerns me is that this company has gotten so big, the world's biggest company, biggest retailer, it has a tremendous impact throughout our economy on setting the standard for other companies, on using its market power to really squeeze suppliers, driving down standards and working conditions around the globe. And I don't think that the small steps forward they're taking on these environmental issues are really making up for the many costs that they impose on communities and on workers around the world.
Yeah. Don't they use that power, though, and squeeze their suppliers to give them products like with less packaging? So doesn't that have a positive effect, too?
They could be using that heavy clout that they have in many positive ways. And I think packaging might be one where it's really clear. But in other areas, like in testing products for safety, they could be a leader on that too, but they're not. They're hanging back and letting others take that responsibility. They're not being upfront at all about how much they're investing in, requiring their suppliers to demonstrate the safety of their products and that type of thing. So we're not seeing them take leadership in a lot of ways. They've also been lobbying against some measures to increase safety. For example, they lobbied against increased port security and inspections because they were afraid it would slow down the transport of their products and add a little bit to their costs. jeopardizing really national security in addition to product safety. So there's so many areas where they could be playing a leadership role and they're not.
Next we go to Connie in Mabel, Minnesota. Hi, Connie, you're on the air.
Hi. This is a great topic. I just wanted to say, too, that I'm going to echo probably some of the things that your guest has mentioned and callers have said, but, you know, Walmart, I would prefer not to maybe shop there all the time because of some of these bad business practices, but I'm a single mother of three, so the demographics here, in my case, we do shop there. But what we do, my teenage daughter and I, we go through the aisles. We look at products, new products, old products, and look at where they've come from, how they're made, if they're effective, are they eco-friendly, are they a sustainable product, and then we determine, you know, what we will buy from Walmart based on those criteria that are met. Also, one product, to name one, that we found recently that we really are kind of excited about is a company called Recycline. They have a toothbrush called the Preserve Toothbrush line. They work with a large yogurt company, Horizons Yogurt, I believe. They use their containers, and they grind them up to use these toothbrushes. In turn, you as a consumer can take these toothbrushes and send them back to Recycline, and they grind them up and make park benches and things. It's really exciting. I think, you know, they're making small steps. So I'll take my comments off the air.
Thank you very much, Connie. Walmart should get a little bit of praise for doing stuff like that, Sarah Anderson.
Well, and it's terrific to hear from a consumer who's really trying to get as much information as she can about how products are made. But one problem is that Walmart has not been a leader also in increasing the amount of information available. In fact, they have lobbied against, for example, country of origin labeling on food. They don't want consumers to know where meat and things come from. They've also been accused of mislabeling products as organic that are not organic. There's a great group based in Wisconsin called the Cornucopia Institute that went around and took pictures of things that were labeled as organic products in Walmart stores that were not, in fact, organic. And so, again, Walmart could be taking the lead in really helping to educate consumers and providing the kind of information that, you know, clearly that the woman who just called would like to have, but instead they have played a role in actually limiting that and in sometimes even misinforming consumers.
Yeah, also you have issues with the seafood certification program?
One of the contributions in the report that I edited is by a group that really monitors seafood and fishery practices around the world. And Walmart right now is bragging about how they're labeling, they're certifying the seafood that they sell through an organization called the Marine Stewardship Council, which certifies that this seafood is harvested sustainably. But the groups that really pay attention to this say that Marine Stewardship Council has actually certified fisheries that have very poor records for environmental practices. And they also question just, is it even feasible to have sustainable seafood on the scale that is required by Walmart, which is so massive. And
I need to jump in because we have a news break, but we will continue talking about this after news from National Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 now on this Friday, November the 23rd. We are talking on this biggest shopping day of the year about the world's biggest retailer, Walmart. And talking with a guest who says that Walmart's new green initiative or sustainability project is maybe not a complete flop, but certainly not going as the company had hoped. And she says that Walmart is greenwashing this. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. It's her contention that a big corporation like Walmart, given its business practices, can never be sustainable. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk at WPR.com. www.ecoalliance.org. Sarah Anderson is the director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. She edited the Big Box Collaborative Report, Walmart Sustainability Initiative, a civil society critique. And she wrote a recent piece that appeared on the website commondreams.org, Walmart's New Greenwashing Report. And just before news time, Sarah, we were talking with a caller who says she does shop at Walmart and appreciates that Walmart is putting some products in place that she thinks are good, sustainable, made the example of a recyclable toothbrush, for example. And we were talking about that when I had to interrupt you for the newscast.
Yeah, well, I really encourage people to try to get as much information as they can about products to make sure that their shopping is in sync with the values that they support. But a problem is that Walmart has lobbied against a lot of initiatives that would provide consumers more information. For example, they oppose country of origin labeling for food. They don't want you to be able to know what country your meat or your vegetables are coming from. They don't want that to be regulated by the government. And so here's another example where Walmart could be a leader in helping to educate consumers about the safety or the origin of their projects or their products or the way in which they're produced, but they have not taken on that leadership position.
And we had a caller who couldn't wait through the newscast who did want to ask about or at least express his opinion that Walmart should get its products from green countries. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I don't know if there are any whole countries that are considered green, but they could do more to source their products. I would say that the best route for them is to source them more locally, to support more local suppliers instead of going so often to China, where there's a country that's really notorious for not enforcing environmental and safety standards, to try to support communities here that would reduce the environmental costs of all that transportation, and it would increase the ability to have greater oversight and inspection of products to ensure more safety for consumers.
Mm-hmm. Chuck in Watertown is with us now. Hi, Chuck. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm not a big fan of Walmart, but business is business, and I believe that business needs a lot of free rein. I'm hearing a lot of negatives, and I'm just wondering what the agenda or the hidden agenda of the organization that you represent has. Is it just strictly anti-Walmart? Are you anti-Kohl's? Are you anti-Sears? I see things in Walmart that I happen to like. I like seeing the new bulbs that save energy. I've bought all those and changed those over. And one of the reasons that they set the stores outside of towns is because look at the fight they had to do to get the stores in the city of Chicago because they didn't. All these other businesses didn't want them in there. You know, it's business, and I'm going to go where I can get the best deal, and I'm also an environmentalist.
Do you have an anti-Walmart agenda, anti-Walmart exclusively agenda, Sarah Anderson?
Well, I pick on Walmart because they're really the biggie. I mean, there's nobody on that scale. If you look at Target, Target has about, I do have the figures here somewhere, they've got about 300,000 employees. Walmart has 1.9 million employees. Walmart has almost 4,000 stores now in the U.S. Target has more like 1,400. So they are really in a position to be a leader. And also, right now, their, what I would say, low-road strategy of squeezing their workers, squeezing their suppliers, always trying to cut corners, that is having a ripple effect throughout our economy. So we're not just talking really about this one store. We're talking about what I would call a Walmart economy based on this low-road model. And my vision for this country is a different one. I want our businesses to be taking more of a high-road strategy that treats their workers with dignity, with decent wages and working conditions, that really cares about the people who are also making the products that they're selling in their stores, that cares about the consumers that are buying the products, so have a really aggressive, ambitious testing and inspection program to make sure that, you know, our pets don't die and our children aren't exposed to lead in their toys. That's the kind of long-term vision I would think is a sustainable one for this company and also for this planet. And I'd also point out that for environmentalists, I mean, we know the price of oil is going to keep going up and up. This is a limited resource. And so I think that combined with the activist pressure on Walmart with the high oil prices, we are going to be seeing really much more significant changes in this company's business model. It's just not going to pay anymore in the future to be so reliant on products on the other side of the globe. So I think whether Walmart likes it or not, it probably is going to have a really radical transformation of its business model within, I would say, the next 20 years.
Yeah. Our guest brought up, or our caller brought up, the Walmart's attempt to go into a city like Chicago and received such a fight. Why wouldn't they be locating in small towns and in the outskirts of town?
Well, the trend has been they've already pretty much saturated rural America. I mean, I'm from a small town in Minnesota, and I really saw that firsthand in the 1970s and 1980s, where they just, you know, came in droves on the outskirts of towns, and really, I would say, decimated a lot of small town main streets, including the one in my hometown. But now the new frontier for them are the urban areas, and they're facing much more resistance there. For one reason, because urban areas tend to have stronger union presence, and Walmart is, you know, absolutely no union company. If you, come close to organizing a union in a Walmart, as what happened in Canada, they just simply shut the store down after they voted in a union. That's how far they will go to block unions. And combined with the pressure from small businesses who want to have neighborhoods and communities that are vibrant ones with many different businesses that contribute to the fabric of the community and not just one big giant big box. And so they have really been blocked out of my city, Washington, D.C., out of New York City. In Chicago, they tried to come in with two super centers, and one was blocked. The other one was not. There's one on the west side of Chicago. So there are major battles in many communities around the country. One estimate is that just last year, 46 Walmart projects were either blocked or were withdrawn by the company because of opposition.
Our guest is Sarah Anderson. We're talking about Walmart and Walmart's green initiative to cut greenhouse gases and to supply stores with more sustainable products, less packaging, that sort of thing. Walmart's progress report is out, and our guest is not very impressed with the progress being made and believes that Walmart is just greenwashing us. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 14 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, we will welcome in two weekend reviewers, Ed Garvey and Joe Engelhoff, to talk with you about the news of the week in our regular Friday weekend review, a Thanksgiving week edition of the weekend review. Right now, we're talking about Walmart. Are you going to go to Walmart today to go shopping in Black Friday sales? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We're talking with a guest who wrote a piece that was entitled Walmart's New Greenwashing Report, and we welcome your thoughts and questions. Do you give Walmart any credit for saying it's going to go green, or do you think that this is insincere and just to cover up maybe bad PR over recent years? Or, like our guest, do you think that Walmart just simply can't really go green, that its current business model won't allow it to really be a sustainable corporation? We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Annette in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Annette. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I'm not going shopping today. I'm going to work, and I don't shop at Walmart. I do give them a little bit of credit. I guess you got to start somewhere. But my main point is in Germany, when Walmart came in, I don't know, maybe 15-some-odd years ago, there was a lot of regional planning that is involved in any type of organized business coming in. And so they look at the community and they decide, is this a good fit? Is it not a good fit? You know, what's it going to do to the community? But then they also require public transportation and so forth and so on to reach these stores. But regardless of that, about a couple years ago, the consumer just really didn't buy into this whole Walmart thing, and they just stopped shopping there. You know, they just thought that the whole concept was wrong, and Walmart pulled out of Germany about a year and a half ago. So I think we consumers in the United States could do a lot more to make these companies be better stewards and better corporate citizens. But we have to do something as consumers. If we want something to change, we have to make a change.
Sarah Anderson?
Well, that's a really great point, and I think there's no time better to emphasize that than on Black Friday. We're seeing today that everyone does have power as consumers. And now there's some people out there who don't have other options than to shop at Walmart. Either that's the only store in their community, really, or they simply can't afford to shop elsewhere. But for people who do have options, it is important to think about that power. Think of shopping as voting in a way. You're endorsing or you're not endorsing a business model. And is the Walmart model of doing business the one that you want to vote for today? It is a model, as I said, that is based on, you know, always low prices. And that those low prices do come with a cost. It comes with the cost of a model based on squeezing workers, squeezing the suppliers to cut corners, and is that the kind of vision that we want for this country? Or do we want at least, you know, today to show a little bit of support for locally owned independent businesses, the ones that really help weave together a much more vibrant fabric to a community than just one big box?
What about Sarah Anderson, though? If some of that squeezing wasn't done, if some of the business practices that Walmart practices weren't there, we wouldn't have those low prices that Connie, a caller we had during this hour, who says she's a single mom with three kids and needs those low prices to get by, we wouldn't have those low prices. What would she do?
Well, that is really the centerpiece of Walmart's argument and all of the advertising that we've been seeing lately, where they're arguing that they save each American family on average $2,500 a year. And that figure, I would have to say, I've looked at analysis by the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, and they really looked into the methodology and say it's just wildly exaggerated. But I think that we still can't deny there is a lot of cheap stuff at Walmart. And like I said, for people who don't have other options, I'm not going to tell them not to shop at Walmart. But for others who have more options, I want them to think about what are the cost of those low prices. And at the risk of sounding melodramatic here, I want to point out that slavery made the price of cotton cheap in this country for a lot of years. But is that the kind of thing that we want to support? There are workers in factories producing goods for Walmart in developing countries that are working, you know, not in slavery perhaps, but in slave like conditions. And is that the kind of thing we want to support? Is it worth it to get the $20 DVD player or whatever when we consider those kinds of costs?
Yeah. Marilyn in Cleveland is with us now. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I would like to have a few kind words for Walmart. I live out in the country, and our recycling center never would accept plastic bags of any kind as recyclable. They had to go in the non. And lately, they've taken them. And I went there, and there were barrels and barrels of plastic bags that people had brought in. And I asked the woman in charge, I said, well, what do you do with all these plastic bags? And she said, Walmart takes them in. So I don't know what Walmart does with them, but at least they clear the recycling centers of them. And I think they deserve some credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Sir Anderson?
Yeah, that's great. Like I said, there are some things that I certainly applaud that Walmart is doing, and that sounds like a great initiative that they can take on. Like I said, they're really making some steps towards reducing packaging and trying to become more energy efficient, and I don't want to discount that. And certainly in rural areas where sometimes there aren't a lot of other services, they can really help out with things like that. But I think that the big picture is what I'm trying to talk about, and just to point out that even if they achieve all of the goals they set out in this green initiative, my argument is they are still not going to be a sustainable company.
Yeah. An email from Paula in Madison, who writes, I agree with the speaker, but I have to give the new store on the south side of Madison a few points for building underground parking and having a much smaller outdoor parking lot, which is saving a lot of land. But then she goes on, it may be because there wasn't a lot of land available in the area due to the wetlands next to it. Oops, I don't suppose you know about the particulars of the store going up on the south side of Madison, but it is underground parking as opposed to a big sprawling lot.
Yeah, well, I know the big sprawling lots have contributed to a lot of problems, a lot of environmental problems. After you have a very heavy rain, you can have runoff from these parking lots that causes erosion and pollution into nearby lakes and streams. And so that's been a major a concern for a lot of environmental groups. I don't really know the specifics mm-hmm. of whether you're gaining a lot by having it underground, but I just wanted to point that out.
Kevin and Elko, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, it's just that these people that work at Walmart, they have the choice to work there or not. You know, it doesn't affect me. I get the low prices, so I automatically, you know, I'm benefiting from that. And the people that work there, they have the choice. They know there's not a union there. They have the choice to work there. And if you work there and you don't like it, you can always go and quit.
Well, that's certainly true. You can quit, but whether or not you can get another job, I think, is a good question. That's, you know, the caller's argument is another one that Walmart uses a lot. They point out how many applications they get for jobs, and often thousands of people will apply for jobs at Walmart, and so they argue, well, then our jobs mm-hmm. must be good because so many people want them. And I guess I would just say that there are many communities where there just aren't a lot of other alternatives. Especially in the dwindling number of union and high-paying jobs. The growth jobs in this country are in the service sector. It's retail sales, I think, is the number one largest growth job, and Walmart really sets the standard there. Other, big box retailers and the grocery stores are all trying to compete with this big Goliath, and they're trying to, you know, bring down their wages to be competitive with Walmart. And so often there just aren't alternatives. So I guess I wouldn't say that just because people can quit that really means they have a lot of choice.
Thanks very much, Kevin, for the call. Doug in Eagan, Minnesota. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Yeah, I always enjoy my trip from Wausau, Wisconsin, back to Eagan so I can listen to the anti-capitalist, anti-freedom, anti-liberty, anti-American.
Talk about this issue. Talk about this issue. We talk about a lot of things on this program.
That's right. Walmart represents those things that are the greatest in America: capitalism, freedom of choice of where you want to work or what you want to buy. By trying to clamp down Walmart, you know, if we crush Walmart, then we have to crush America because we stand for all those things.
All right. What about that, Sarah Anderson?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of freedoms in this country. One is there's the freedom of association and to form unions, and Walmart is a notorious violator of that basic human freedom in this country. They've been faced with, you know, citation after citation for violating worker rights. And so I think you have to look at the big picture. Is it more important to be able to go and get, you know, many, many thousands of products in a store, I guess, that gives you the freedom to choose a lot, you know, what product you would like to buy? Or do you have some basic rights to form unions? Is there any, does he think there's any obligation to pay decent health care and wages?
I think that that is what this country is about, that if you work hard, you work hard every day, you should be able to make enough money to live a dignified life. And right now, wages at Walmart, which are on average for full-time workers, are $10.76 an hour. They refuse to reveal how much it is for part-time workers. And so these are not bringing families above a poverty wage. And I to me, that's what America should be about, getting a fair compensation for a job well done.
Thanks, Doug, for the call. Safe travels. And Sarah Anderson, thank you so much for joining us. Sarah Anderson, director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. She edited the Big Box Collaborative Report, Walmart's Sustainability Initiative, and wrote a recent piece, Walmart's New Greenwashing Report. We thank Leo Duran for producing this hour and for on-air production, and we thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come, including the Week in Review. And a reminder that we will be talking on Monday during this hour about happenings at the state capitol. It's our state capitol report every Monday between 7 and 8. And coming up on Monday, I think we have Jay Heck from Common Cause to talk with us about efforts to try to get some campaign finance reform passed in this state. That's on Monday at 7. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.